What do the dimensions of the Parthenon, the proportions of the face of the Mona Lisa, and the geometry of a DNA molecule all have in common?
Any chance they all contain the golden rectangle?
Well, that depends on whom you ask. This is Science Matters. I'm John Henshaw.
And I'm Jerry McCoy.
The golden rectangle has a precise mathematical definition, which is kind of hard to describe on the radio. So instead, let me ask you, Jerry, does your wife let you carry a credit card?
Only when I'm on my best behavior.
Well, if you look at a typical credit card, its dimensions, its length and its width, are not far from those of the golden rectangle.
Not far? That doesn't sound very quantitative.
You're right, it's not very quantitative. But remember that phrase, not far from, because you're going to need it later. It turns out that that's one of the problems with the whole mystique of the golden rectangle.
Mystique of the golden rectangle. Tell me more.
With pleasure. So it turns out this rectangle, the one that's pretty close to the shape of a typical credit card, shows up in lots of places. Famous mathematicians have been playing around with the golden rectangle at least as far back as Pythagoras, which was earlier than 500 BC.
Yeah, but we're not here to talk about math, right?
Right. So fast forward from Pythagoras in 500 BC, 2,000 years later to about 1500 AD, when Leonardo da Vinci painted the famous Mona Lisa.
Would this be the Mona Lisa whose famous smile was defined by the golden rectangle?
Well, her smile is certainly famous, but I'm not all that certain that it was defined by the golden rectangle, at least not on purpose. But there are those who believe that Leonardo purposefully laid out various dimensions of the world's most famous painting in accordance with the golden rectangle.
Yeah, but Leonardo's not around to ask about it, is he?
Well, unfortunately, no. But 300 and some odd years later, after the Mona Lisa was painted, a guy named Gustav Fechner came along and tried to prove that the golden rectangle is indeed the most beautiful possible rectangle that there is.
Wow, so how do you go about proving how beautiful a rectangle is?
Well, that was the genius of Gustav Fechner. Fechner is known as the father of the science of psychophysics.
Psychophysics. Sounds a little like a cross between one of my classes and a Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Something like that. Actually, psychophysics is the study of the relationship between what our brains perceive through our senses to what we can measure with instruments.
Got an example?
Sure. Let's say I take 10 glasses of water and add different amounts of salt to each glass. The first glass has 1% salt, the second 2%, etc., on up to 10% for the 10th glass.
Oh, I see where this is going. I'm going to taste each glass and then try to estimate how much salt's in each one, using only my sense of taste.
Bingo. The relationship between the measured amount of salt and what your sense of taste tells you, that's psychophysics. And there are analogous experiments related to vision, hearing, and so on. Gustav Fechner was obsessed with all this stuff, hence his unofficial title as the father of psychophysics.
So how did he go about investigating the golden rectangle?
Well, the experiment he dreamed up involved 10 different rectangles. They ranged from tall and skinny to short and fat. Right in the middle was the golden rectangle. He simply asked people to look at the rectangles and select the most beautiful one.
And everyone picked the golden rectangle?
Well, not everyone, but it was the most popular choice.
So that proves it's the most beautiful rectangle.
Not so fast. It's possible that people just chose it because it was in the middle. It turns out that, over the years, lots of folks have tried to confirm Fechner's conclusions on this, and they've usually concluded that there was nothing special about the dimensions of the golden rectangle.
But the golden rectangle shows up lots of other places, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Some people say it's built into the dimensions of the pyramids in Egypt, or in the shape of branches on trees, or in the dimensions of birds, insects, and even people.
So this is where that whole not far from thing comes back into the picture.
Precisely. It turns out that if you look long and hard enough for certain dimensions in something, you will probably find something that's pretty close to or not far from the golden rectangle.
So finding the golden rectangle in all of these things is just a case of wishful thinking then?
I'd say that's not far from the truth.
Not far.
This is Science Matters. I'm John Henshaw.
And I'm Jerry McCoy.